Peace and blessings to you. Are you looking for a place to express your concerns, your anger, what's going on in your community and your family? Well, Breaking Chains is the podcast. It's all about letting the world know that enough is enough, and it's time for you to speak up and speak out. Join us nightly, and let's break some chains by using your voice to express the concerns you have about the issues that are affecting our people, mankind, and our world as a whole. Get involved, and let's break some chains.
It's History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp.
Do you know your history?
And I'll go back into some other things with the origin of man.
Do you know who you are?
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp.
What you learned, has it been a lie?
So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Get back on it now.
You're listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio.
God bless you and good evening. It's Pastor Rod. Welcome to Breaking Chains and History Talk podcast with Dr. LaVert Kemp and the UTC students. God bless. Good evening. God bless you.
Dr. Good Kemp. Evening to you. Good evening. And God bless each and every one who are tuned in this evening. And I pray that as we go along with History Talk, that there will be some substance that is given. I would like to start off earlier tonight. We would like to start off earlier tonight speaking about what's going on over in the Middle East now in Jerusalem and around America as the students are protesting almost what I would almost call a genocide of the Palestinians that's going on. I know that the Palestinians did kill some people of Israel, but this has been going on for many, many years. Those of who haven't kept up with the true history of that part of the world won't understand exactly what's going on, the magnitude and how the Eurocentric and others have centric countries and the mentality have taken the side of Israel, whether they're right or wrong, and have taken the land and gave it to the people who call themselves Jews, which the term Jew is only 1,000 years old. Nevertheless, the people of Palestine have been there for thousands of years and go back many years after the Canaanites, which the children of Israel, which the people there now cannot verify that they are the true children of Israel because they will not test DNA that they're from the Middle East or either North Africa or Middle Eastern bloodline. So they have no proof that they belong there. So it's something that America, Great Britain, and others, Canada and some others came together and gave some people a homeland. And so we're going to first, I want to talk about those things that are going on now and why it's like that to this day. And then we're going to go back into anthropology and some American history as that came along with the American history part of it. It's very imperative that we understand these things that's going along with in our country and in the cities all over America where our colleges are located, how they are protesting. They're not just trying to take over a university per se, but they're trying to make people aware because it seems that our president and other people, the Republicans and Democrats who represent this democracy, haven't given much of an eye to what's going on. As we, as recently, as of last week, I believe it was able to pass a bill to send Israel $22 billion, and that $22 billion could be used for this country. Nevertheless, we send $22 billion over there to support a genocide. That's my feeling. And it also said 10 of the billion was to go to make sure that the Palestinian people are fed and to give things, but they're not giving the money to the Palestinians. They're giving it to Israel, which we know the Zionists is not going to give them. Those who don't know what a Zionist is, you have to really look it up. That's who's really maybe called rebels, who are the governing body called Zionists. And you'd have to look up and understand those terms in which that that's being used. And we've been watching a slaughter of men, women, and little children. And it doesn't seem like President Netanyahu of Israel want to give back on the killing of these innocent kids. Now, I want to tell you something, and I want you to listen at me good. One of the longest wars that America was involved in was right in Afghanistan. They were trying to get rid of this group. It wasn't Hamas, but it was another group that they were trying to get rid of. I come up with the name. But they were trying to get rid of that group. They never succeeded. They killed many of them, and they never wiped them out. Fast as you kill one of these groups, another group, some other going to take their place. So Netanyahu say he want to do away with Hamas. He would never do away with Hamas. You might kill a lot of their fighters, but you're never going to do that. You kill some of their children going to take their place. And the people in Israel, the Palestinians in Israel, will never quit fighting because in reality, it's their land. The truth of the matter is their land. They were there before 1947 or 48. That's all Israel, about 75 years old. These people have been there thousands of years. So it's ironic that America and other countries are supporting them to kill these babies, and knowing that you could never, the very same group that blew up the World Trade, both of the World Trade Center, they're still going. They're just not active as they were. You're never going to kill them all the way. They just build back up, go hide out, train, and build back up again. So that's what he's talking about. He want to go in there and kill all Hamas. You're going to just destroy a whole other city and town where the people, and then you're taking over the land that was supposed to have been divided by Great Britain and America and others, which was given to the Palestinians, which were really their land. In the last 75 years, the Jews have taken the people land from them that was given to them, and the other countries around the world are doing nothing but watching it transpire. That's the truth. You know, I have a saying, let the truth be told. It's time that we research, and it's time that our president stand up to President Netanyahu of Israel, because President Biden know he's going to do whatever he want to do, but he need the weapons from the United States and other countries to really fight his battles in the Middle East. That's a very small country. They can't do it independently. And America have ships out there if other countries want to jump in and help this little people to get their land back. America's ready to fight. And we would be wrong to do it. I think that we don't know exactly what's going on. Now, I was in class and I was talking pertaining to it, and one of my professors brought it to my attention about how the Arabs treat black folks. And just as whites had slaves before white slavery, Arabs had slaves. And the Arabs, as an African-American, my ancestors or great-grandparents were sold. My great-grandparents were sold into slavery here in America. And going back, I could trace them back to the 1700s, knowing that they was here before the 1700s. But I could trace it back to the 1700s by records. Nevertheless, with that said, we belong here. And this is part of the problem what we have. We've been lied to so many years, and they treated slaves so bad. My ancestors were treated so bad. But if they would have went to in the Arab trade, slave trade, I don't know if I would be here today. The Arabs really castrated men, and they used the women for sex toys. And that's true. And slavery ended with the Arabs. Well, it went on longer with the Arabs. And some say it's still going on. Well, the men being castrated because although their offspring are black or African, they don't want their people to breed with Africans, but they want to breed with the African women. And so one of my professors was talking about it last night. The part I don't like is the children that's being caught in the middle of innocent people that's dying over there. They're not involved in the war. They've lost home. They're starving them and everything else. And you see how low that the Israeli people, they're not Israelite. They say they're Jews. And there's a difference in that. Anyone could convert to a Jew because Jew come from Judaism, which there's no such thing as a J in the language. So we need to watch carefully what we do. Now, and then they say everything is going from a biblical perspective, but I'm going to talk about that, even go into the biblical perspective tonight about it, because I want us to understand that. I'm just going to read some little clips I have from in the early 1994 when I got my master's, and I wrote a little small book, which was my thesis, which covered about 100 pages. I wrote about the African presence in the Holy Bible, and I have some powerful information on it to prove just who we are as compared to the lie that we've been fed that the Hebrews were Caucasian, and they were never Caucasian. That the people that's there today, the Caucasians are no more than Eastern European people from Poland, from Russia, from Lithuania, and from, Poland, and Ukraine. So I want us to really do that, think about it, and even the people in the Ukraine, we're sending bombs to them. They had black people that lived in Ukraine, and they were trying to go over the border in Poland, and they wouldn't accept them. And the people, the war started, and they were blowing up. They wasn't letting the people from Africa out. They were going to let them get killed until the UN stepped in. So we're just being mistreated all around the world. And there's been so many lies. And the real reason, I really believe this, and through study, why we're hated by. If you go to China, you really hated China, and Russia is dealing with Africa now. And the only reason they're really dealing with Africa is because Africa have more minerals than any other continent in the world. In the world, it have more things of natural resources and minerals and things than any continent on the globe. And so everybody want a piece of Africa because that's God's land. God have blessed those people over there and my ancestors with all these wonderful things that they can sell. America and Great Britain and France and the Italians, the Portuguese, the Dutch, and the others have ripped them off and raped the country for many, many years. And now they're being put out. And America and Great Britain and France and others are in an uproar because China and Russia are giving them a fair price and coming in now, and the people of Africa don't want to deal with the West or Great Britain or France. They put them out, put the American air base, closed that down, and that was a strategic position that we needed. Now, we're going to finish talking about this because I want us to get an understanding of some terminology that's used, because you might hear about on the news about the Zionists, and you might hear about these different individuals that represent Israel. Now, but we don't really comprehend exactly what's going on, because a Zionist doesn't mean that you a Jew. And a Jew don't mean that you are Hebrew, because it's the Hebrew people, the Hebrews, who are the real Israelites. The name was changed from Jacob to Israel, but it came from the Hebrew grandfather named Abraham. So that's through the biblical concept in which we've been talking about, what we're going to go in tonight. And I'm going to go and do just a little talk on part of it, and then we're going to go on with the discussion, because I have some powerful things that's going to be said by the students from United Theological Seminary and Bible College tonight. Amen. I'm just so proud of them and the research, and I have some graduating this coming Saturday from UTS, some getting their bachelor's, and some going to get master's degrees from UTS. And so I'm proud of it. I'm just so proud of the school, that which way we're headed. And so if anyone want to know about seminary, find United Theological Seminary and Bible College. I'm the director of United Theological Seminary and Bible College in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But the main campus is located in Monroe, Louisiana, on Texas Street. So we're going to go on further with the program. But I want to first start talk about tonight and give you some information on exactly what's going on. And by doing that, I want to talk about tonight, I'm going to start my conversation about Judaism. See, we need to know about Judaism. See, when you think about what's going on now, you find out that the people that's over in the Holy Land called Ashkenaz, some, you got three different ethnic groups that's over in the Holy Land. You got your Ashkenaz, which consists of Russian, Poland, and Ukraine. And then you got your Khazars, which is Turkey and Iran. That's where the people are from. And then you got the Sephardic. That's Spain and Portuguese. And we need to know the difference between Judaism and Zionism. Judaism is the oldest monotheistic religion, which dates back thousands of years. It is foundationally a belief system rooted in faith encompasses a culture, ethical and religious aspects. It is practiced by people who call themselves Jews, or a diverse group of people who share a common religious and cultural group or heritage. The central tenet of Judaism revolves around the belief in one God, a single God. And its religious practices are anchored in the sacred text known as the Torah. Judaism encompasses not only religious aspect, but also a distinct culture, identity. It endows itself in tradition, customs, art, literature, and a deep sense of historical continuity in the culture. Now, this is more talking about the ones that came from Russia and Poland and Ukraine. Now, the Zionists are different. The Zionists is a political ideology. The Zionists is a movement. It's not Judaism. It's a movement or organization found in the late 1900s. It is centered on the ideal of establishing and maintaining a Jewish homeland in the historic region of Israel, which was under Ottoman and later the British rule during a movement in the early years. Following the establishment of Israel, Zionists, which came in 1948, just right in 1948, Zionists became an idea that continued support and protection of the state of Israel. Zionists at its core can be understood as a manifestation of Jewish nationalism. The father of Zionism is Theodore Herzl, and that was in the late 1800s that he was born, and he came up with it. But in 1948 is when Israel became a state. Now, you do the math. It only became a state in 1948. But there's a problem that I find with this. Problem that I find with this is they're talking about the children of Israel being Hebrew. Over there, the Caucasians that came from Spain and Portuguese and Turkey and Iran and from Russia and from Poland and Ukraine, that's the people that's living there now. But I want to listen at me closely. See, sometimes you have to learn to read your Bible dictionary. And I'm just using the Bible instead of anthropology and genetics. But we're going to go into anthropology and genetics too. See, Zondervan Bible Dictionary, and the Bible talks about Ham as the father of the dark race of black people. But now listen at what the Bible Dictionary tells us. There are more than one group of dark people or black people that was during the time of Noah. Zondervan Bible Dictionary definition of Ham is the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight people to live throughout the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, not of the Negroes. Now, we was always called Negroes and colored people in America, but they say he was the progenitor of the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites. Before the Palestinians were there, before the children of Israel came there, the Canaanites lived there. It was called the Land of Canaan. I took a course at Liberty University, is one of the universities that I studied in, and it had this thing about the conquest of Canaan. When the children, real children of Israel, not these people that they have here, left from Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia, and I'm going to tell you that Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia, if you go in the 10th and 11th chapter of Genesis, will tell you it was the land of Nimrod, and Nimrod was the grandson of Ham, and the Bible tell you that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race. Now, watch me closely. They said that he became the progenitor of the dark race, not of the Negro, but the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites. So that tells me that somebody is lying some way down the line. Now, it tells us about studying the Talmud. You have to watch certain things because, you know, you have A.D. and you got B.C. And then you got C.E., and that's Christ's era. Now, if you studied the Talmud, it was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and existed in two versions. Vastly studied Babylonian Talmud compiled by scholars in Mesopotamia around 500 CE, as well as the Jerusalem Talmud compiled earlier around 400 CE, much shorter, complete, and consequential for centuries of study. Now, I want to read something to you. When they brought the people in 1947, 48 into the Holy Land, and they brought Caucasians there, and during that time in 19, it was 10 years later, 10 to 8 years later, the president of Egypt during that time was Gamal Abdel Nasser. Gamal Abdel Nasser. He did a speech that was worldwide, and he let you know that the people were not Caucasian, that were Hebrew. Listen at what he told us. He said, Gamal Abdel Nasser's speech said, Egyptian president said of the Jews, they left here black and came back white. We refuse to accept them. He actually was speaking the truth. The Jews that covered so much are actually, they are converts, and they studied from the 8th to the 9th century. These are not the people of the Torah. And thusly, their Talmud tells them never to call themselves Israelites, as in the original Hebronic people. The original Hebrew people call themselves the children of Hebrew. Only a small number of Hebrew were actually on a particular land, and that Jerusalem were not the first built, but were very significant in the creation and subsequent religions such as Catholic. Now, this is the thing that they did. The foundation of what we believe in today, the Judaism helped build the Catholic religion, which came from over in Rome, around Constantine, Christianity. The truth is Hebrew that built up the area are the captured Hebrews of the Assyrians. Embarked on, if you look up and see pictures of the Assyrians before the time of Christ, you're going to see they called themselves the black-headed. They embarked to get those Hebrews who were more than just a skip, hop, and a jump away. Historians may suggest that the religious world we live in is most likely a confederate lies told to subjugate a group of people just the way the Old Testament said it would be. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Throughout the Bible tells us throughout the Old Testament that the people, the children of Israel, went against the word of God. And he allowed them to go into captivity. If you would read, if you would read the book of Exodus 28, excuse me, Deuteronomy 28 and 68, it told that the children of Israel would go back into Egypt in bondage, this time by ship. And oftentimes the real name of Israel was back then the first name they called it was Metherim. Later on, it was given the name Egypt, but it also means place of bondage. And so they said that this time the children of Israel, and I said Deuteronomy 28 and 68, this time they would go in the bondage on ships, and they would be sold, and no one would buy them back. The children that's over in the Americas and South America and the Isle and the West Indies and that's out there today, out on those islands out there, most of those people came from afar, and that the children of Israel would be scattered. Even in the book of Esther, it tells in the book of Esther that when the children of Israel were in bondage around Turkey and Iran, in the book of Esther 8 and 17, it tells you that those people converted to their belief and to the belief of Judaism. So the people today are no more than I don't think that they had this saying now. They don't want the people to take DNA tests, and they have this falsehood. How do you tell if a person is Israelite or Judah, if they're from the Holy Land? If you have to match their bloodline, but their bloodline only match Eastern Europe. They don't have a bloodline that mimic or matches the people from the Middle East, which was called North Africa many years ago. It was called the Middle East. We call it the Middle East now. Some call it Eurasia. But back then, it was called North Africa. Watch this. Watch what I'm about to tell you. The people and Britain wanted to give them a homeland. And Theodore Herzog in 1897, he was the first, I told you, the first Zionist. But they wanted to support them and give them a homeland. So the Britain told the children, these people who call themselves Jews or the Zionists, that they would give them, this in 1903, they would give them Uganda in Africa, first in Africa and Uganda, and they would not take it. Later on, they wanted to settle the French, gave support to this Jewish philanthropist, Edmund Rothschild. You know the Rothschild family, it's a money thing. And they became part of the deal, and that's how they started getting to what you call. See, it didn't become a country over there, a state or a country, until November the 9th, 1997, and May 14, 1948, Israel proclaimed their statehood. It was Britain played a part in it, the United States, Australia, and Hungary. The British controlled Israel before the World War II, from 1923 to 1948. And before 1948, guess what Israel was called? Called British Palestine, the very people they're killing off today. Now, I want you to understand that the first people who lived in that land were called Canaanites. They were Semitic people. They were ancestors of the real Israelites. And the real Israelites were Abraham, who came from Ur of the Chaldees. I also told you that the Assyrians were black also. And they came from Ur of the Chaldees about 400 and some years, well, 2,400 years before Christ. That's when Abraham came over. And so you're looking at 4,400 years. Now, if you take this, what I'm telling you, the people supposed to use this example for Semitic. We talk about, in America, we can say anti-Semitism. How can white people from Europe be a Semitic person? And you have to be from the Middle East or North Africa. Watch this. The people are Semitic is an obsolete term for an ethnic culture or racial group associated with people of the Middle East, including Arabia. It talks about other parts of the Phoenicians and other parts. Or Semitic people is a group or a language including Hebrew, Arabic, as well as the people who traditionally speak Ham, Sun, Shem. They came from Mesopotamia around that way. Now, you want me to go any deeper? I want to tell you that the Hebrew language really is called a, now this Hebrew language that they talk about so much, it's called an Afro-Asiatic language. But I want to read something to you guys. I really want to read something to you, biblical, and then I'm going to go right quick off into genetics right quick and things. But I want to read something to you, some studies that I've done about the Garden of Eden. You know, I told them, I said, in choosing the topic, and this is how I really feel about studying this. In choosing the topic for my thesis, I found it both interesting and enlightening to research the African presence in the Bible. For many years, I pondered these questions. Why are all television, movies, and biblical characters always white? Why are all pictures of the Bible characters, such as angels, disciples, prophets, kings, all are white? Do blacks have anything to do with the Bible? Why are some blacks call the Bible the white man's book? I will try to answer these questions, and in doing so, I hope to find out this could be the reason for problems such as low self-esteem among blacks and why blacks feel inferior to whites. I ask the reader to pay close attention to the facts. The Holy Bible was written about no particular color, race, or people, nor does it speak directly of color. God is a spirit, therefore he has no color. We find that man's creation was somewhere in North Africa. We should look closely at the geographical location of God's ministry to man. We should pay close attention to what tribe lived in which geographical location and the dates. It is my intent to show that the black African may be the original Hebrew, and 75% of the Bible was written by or about the black Hebrew. I will also answer the question, are there black Jews? Furthermore, I intend to unveil a cloud of racism which have for centuries hid the true facts of the Bible. We should not, as black men and women, in no way use these facts to feel superior to anyone. God is not a God of color, but a God of love. God is no respecter of a person. Proverbs 22:2. The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of us all. Amen. Now listen at what it says. What was the location of the Garden of Eden? Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verses 8-15, tells us where the Garden of Eden was located. Careful research, I found that both the Pishon and the Gihon River are both rivers located in Africa. Now, let me explain the translation of the above scripture. Verse 2, and a river went out of the garden into water the garden, and from there it divided in the four head of water. Verse 11, the first river was called the Pishon, which encompassed the land of Havilah. Havilah is the son of Cush, the father of Ethiopia in Genesis 10:27. So now you're talking about Africa, Ethiopia. Just read your Bible, 10th chapter of Genesis, verse 7. And the son of Ham, Cush and Metherim and Put and Canaan were the sons that he had. The sons of Cush were Sheba and Havilah, and Sabatha, Rama, Septicha, and the son of Raham, Septicha, and the son of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. You know, we heard about the queen of Sheba and Dedan. This region is called, what they're talking about, is called Dejabudi or Somaliland. Now, the name of the second river is the Gihon. This is the Nile, the same as it encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. As we study the map of African continent, we find that it was impossible for the Pishon or the Gihon to flow from Africa to the continent of Iraq. The third river is the Hiddekel River, and the fourth is the Euphrates. In the newest U.S. News and many other magazines, Africa is recognized and identified as the birthplace of mankind. Jewish historian Flavius Josephus and 11th century Bible commentator Rashid both agree that the Gihon River, which departed from Eden, was the Nile. In Africa, the Jewish Rashid is called Rabbi Solomon ben Isaac. His commentary on the Bible is still being used by scholars today. The study of the Bible, we should understand the nature of the people who translated the Bible. King James translated the Bible during the time of slavery. And we have to understand that King James, that translated the Bible during that time, he gave Pope Nicholas V, he got him to sign a referendum for slavery. So you know what some of the translation against people of slavery about Muslims and blacks, what they done. He was a racist. It was a very profitable market. We should understand that Many other European scholars who translated the Bible were prejudiced against Africa. For this reason, many untrue statements have been made, such as the black race is cursed because of Ham. Today, many believe we should be servants of slaves. They believe we as a race are inferior to white race. King James himself was in the slave trade business. We must overlook the injustice and prejudice of many Bible translators and seek for the truth. Many scientists and world researchers are aware of the overwhelming evidence that Africa is the birthplace of man. The oldest bone weapon, tools, utensils, and civilization are found in Africa and not in Asia. Ezekiel 29:10 mentions more than one river between Egypt and Ethiopia, although not mentioned by name. The Pishon is possibly mentioned as an upper branch of the Nile. Professor Harana and Avik Yana and Macmillan Atlas, Bible Atlas, identified the Pishon with the upper branch of the Nile. And the Roman historian Pliny spoke of Havilah in East Africa. The Hastings Bible Dictionary, the Cushite Havilah journey from Africa to Arabia. After searching the map of Africa, I found that the northern coast of Africa is bordered to the north by the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, to the east by the Gulf of Aden and the Indian Ocean. The Pishon that encompassed the whole land of Havilah and Somaliland or Somalia could not have been located in Iraq. Neither could the Gihon River, the Nile, which the Bible says encompassed the land of Ethiopia. To the east of Ethiopia is Somalia, and to the north is the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. To the east of Somalia is the Indian Ocean. Through the study of the World Atlas, I found that the god would have been located somewhere in the area of Ethiopia and Somalia. The word encompass is used both with the Pishon River and the Gihon River. Each one encompassed Havilah, encompassed modern-day Somalia, and the other encompassed Ethiopia. The Gihon is now called the Nile. Webster Dictionary defined the word encompassed as enclosing line or limited area of the perimeter passing around. To view this in retrospect, the Gihon, which encompassed Ethiopia, is the present-day Nile River. The Pishon encompassed the country of Havilah, present-day Somalia, both in North Africa. Now we must consider the remaining river, the Hidekia and the Euphrates. Before we seriously examine the role these two rivers play, let us look again at the first two. In Genesis 2:10, tells us that the river went out to water God. From hence it parted and became four heads. From this we can establish that two parts. One river went out to water God, one river parted and became four rivers. The first is the Pishon that encompassed the land of Havilah in Genesis 2:11. We also have to understand that Havilah during the period covered the land that is now including portion of northeast Egypt, northeast Sudan, and Djibouti. During that period, though, I believe it extended southward through portions of the northern Ethiopia and northern Sudan. This should mean that the Pishon flowed in an easterly direction toward the present day, Red Sea. The name of the second is the Gihon, and the name compass the whole land of Ethiopia. We should see that the present day Ethiopian believed during that period encompassed part of the Sudan and the present day Egypt. This land was called Cush and later Metherum, Cush brother, who settled in that land. Now, these are things that we're talking about. Now, dealing when they talk about those who make this or some about, okay, about the third river, which name was the Ezekiel, which has been identified as the present-day Tigris River. Those who make this assumption, I believe, are in error. Let's look at Genesis 2 and 14, which said that the name of the third river is Ezekiel, and it is which goes toward east of Assyria. This tells me that the river flowed in an easterly direction. The Tigris River, which is east of Assyria, flows parallel to the Euphrates River before meeting the Euphrates. It flows toward the south or north, thus cannot be the Ezekiel. I believe toward the merge of the Euphrates. In the latter part of the Genesis, Moses tells us only that the fourth river is the Euphrates. As I look at this picture, I see one river parting and becoming four rivers, and one river becoming a southern border of the garden. And I want you to understand, I'm going to stop right there because I was going to read a little more from it, but I just want to show you that the Gihon and the Pishon River, they actually was in Africa. And these are things that you're not being told because I don't know whether or not how much that our different ministers or pastors are aware to teach their church members the truth. To teach them the truth. Teach them about themselves. Don't let them go around thinking that they had no part in life, that they are nobodies, what they've been taught in America for so many years, that we are nobodies. And that hurt our kids even to this very day. And I'm not going to criticize my friends and my brotherhood that's in the ministry, but we need to learn more about who we are and give our people, since we've been in bondage, for we have been in bondage over 300 years, that we can teach our children something to make them proud. And that's what we're doing at UTS. We want to learn so we can teach others that we may be proud or where we come from or what we're doing. Now, I've been blessed that I can come out and really speak to you guys pertaining to this. But I want to go even further because I'm going to show you. I just told you Cush was Ethiopia, right? Now, the oldest fossil, which is called Australopithecus, Afroforensic was a fossil skeleton parts that were found in Ethiopia in 1974, which I've said on many occasions. And it's about the oldest fossil that have ever been found. It was found in 1974, and it was two individuals, Don Johansson and Tom Gray, who were looking for rocks, you know, and they were finding things, and they came up on the skeletal remain of a fossil of a female that ended up being 3.2 million years old, over 3 million years old, and they called her Lucy. They called her Lucy because in 1974, the Beatles had a record out, and it was called Lucy. And so they named it Lucy. And Lucy is the Australopithecus. So this dates back to, they're talking about the Garden of Eden being in that area around Ethiopia, which is called the land of Cush or Havilah, which there's Beldonium and actually what I was talking about in Genesis, the second chapter, where the garden is. All of this is written down. All of this is written down by Caucasians and others. All we have to do it. And also to show you that mankind came from Africa, it's called Lewis and Mary Douglas Leakey, a husband and wife, British paleontologist. They were looking around in what we call the OD Gorge, and that's in Southeast Africa, and they found a robust human ancestor. She also discovered a robust, what you call, Zinzanthropus, meaning East African skull in the OD Gorge in Tanzania, in East Africa. And they found several archaeological and anthropological fossils of an ancestor of an early ape too. While excavating in the OD Gorge in 1960, and this go back, this is 2.16 million years old, all these fossils are being found in Africa. And I want us to understand just how that goes. They even found footprints where a volcano erupted in that area. And it went back to 3.75, almost 4 million years. Now, Lucy is 3.2, and they found her. And now they found Homo herbivorus, which would be 1,700,000 years old. And that would also be a Zinzanthropus. Now, but I'm telling you, all these things are found in Africa and nowhere else. You know, Africa's greatest anthropologists and French and British tried to hide that the Egyptians were black for the longest. For many, many years, they tried to hide the fact because the civilization was so far ahead of all the other civilizations in the world. Now, I just went back to show you something, that Africa was in existence before anywhere else, and the people came from there, and the people were black. I'm going to prove that to you. Now, and I'm going to prove something. Now, this is not black scientists, but these are white scientists. I'm about to show you something. If we trace every person today, no matter if you live in China, Japan, Africa, if you live in Europe, Russia, you could live in Germany, you could be in America, Canada, you could live anywhere around the world. But listen at what all about, you could tell who your people is and where you come by your DNA. Is it ironic that everybody can trace their DNA and the mitochondria inheritance, mitochondria within our cells? All humans have theoretically a common ancestor. The woman name is Mitochondria Eve. She lived about 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, all human beings today in contemporary world, all human beings today can trace their motherly or mitochondrial DNA back to her, this African woman. Within her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in the contemporary human today. Different populations have formed all over the world, but still, genetically, we might have drifted apart, but we still carry that marker of her DNA, that she is the great-great, you might go 100 times, grandmother of everybody living. This is well known. And she was not a white lady. She came from sub-Saharan Africa. And they also found a man. Now, this is not Y chromosome Adam, but they also have a man that they call Y chromosome Adam. And he would be the father of all living people. And he came from Africa. You know, I was laughing one night and I was talking with some of my fellow comrades and I was telling them, it's a shame that when white folk get their DNA, and I have nothing against white folk, but when you get your DNA and you see that you came from this, your ancestry come from Great Britain, and they came from Germany, and you're Dutch, and you're Polish, and then they might have 7% others. That 7% other gonna come from Africa. So, you are African European. you might want to duck the bullets. You just a mutation of an African. And the lady Jane Elliott said that, and she's Caucasian herself. She said that white folk, her people, are only as a faded mutation of a black man. And she told the truth. But she would tell the truth, and so many would not tell the truth about how that goes. They tell you that in Africa we didn't have books and we didn't write, but that's a lie. And Timbuktu had a library and current of more books than people say we had. We had 700,000 manuscripts, 12,000 medieval astronomy, history, and math books, and the oldest university in the world, in Morocco, and had University of Timbuktu. Europeans got their education from that. See, you have to understand the Europeans got their education from Rome, but Rome got their education, and the Greeks got their education from Egypt. When you talk about Herodias others, they came from there. Even Pythagoras, they learned from there. They went to what you call Wasser Temple. And they don't tell you that the richest person that ever lived was Massa Musa. I was saying it sounded like, it sounded like I was saying something that you use when you're constipated, but it's Massa Musa, okay? And that was Aristotle and Herodias, you know? And I think about Pythagoras, all these people got their science and other things from Africa. All the math, science, and astronomy, medicine, all of it came. Matter of fact, the first builder of the pyramid was Imhotep, and he was the master architect. And matter of fact, when the Africans in Egypt were living in 48-story buildings, the people in Rome were just coming out of caves. And this is the truth. You know, I did some research, and I found out what they were talking about 7,000 years ago. 70,000 years ago, they had what they call out of Africa. And that's when people left Africa and went to other parts of the world. And when they left, they first stopped in the Middle East at 70,000 years. They stopped in the Middle East. And for later on, after they left the Middle East, they went into Europe, and they went into Europe about 40,000 years ago. And then during the Ice Age, and they went through what are called a mutation. And I want you to understand about these mutations that we have, and I'm going to give you some things, and I'm going to try to put this to you very, very slowly. So if you want to write certain things down, you can do it if you would like, about the different things about the mutation. I had wrote some things down that I wanted to discuss with us tonight in dealing with the mutations. I may have to come back at a later date to give my students time to do what they would like to do. But I'm just going to give you some things. The oldest Homo sapien, and that was found in the, what you call them, up in Denmark, in Britain was a black person. So the skin color that faded away, you know, that the skin, when they lost the skin color gene, the skin color suggests that the Europeans' skin became quite lighter, only about 6,000 years ago. And the mutation of the skin color, now you can look this up, it's called SLT C24A5. And they got another one that they call SLC458, which identifies the gene for albinism. So, in other words, they're only albinos. The gene these scientists were using to find the so-called white skeleton in Europe were albino genes. That's what they used to find out these genes, to try to find out whether or not the people were Caucasian, and they found out that they were albinos. And that is their own thing. But I want to go even further. The greatest genetics is Gregoire Mendel, and he talks about how we inherited things from the inheritance involved the passing of discrete units of genes down from parent to children and offspring. Gregoire Mendel found out by using he dealt with horticulture. He dealt with peas and different traits and put two different color beans together or peas together and found out what color would it would come out. And then he noticed things about the genes in humans. And he came up with Mendel's law, and then Mendel's law talks about the independent assortment, the law of dominance, and the law of segregation. But he also did his genetic study, and that was part of botany, but he did also his study because his biology is the study of man, plants, and animals. But within his study, he found out that black or brown skin came from a dominant gene. Oh, that's why. And brown eyes come from a dominant gene. That's why Tiger Woods and all these other people were so successful in dominating sports in football, basketball, baseball, science. The young lady who came up with the formula for COVID-19, she was a black lady. The lady that figured out the trajectory to come back from the moon with a black lady. GPS, a black lady. Two young black girls just recently saw Pythagoras' theory, and they were in junior high school. You want to talk about most of the doctors and scientists in America and around the world are not from Europe. He said light skin come from a recessive. If you look up the word, it says black skin and brown skin come from dominant genes, or brown eyes from dominant genes. The word dominant in its own, it means this. The word dominant means superior. Light skin comes from a recessive gene. See, and it's a thing that I'm going to say this, and because my time is being well spent. See, I found out you could get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. Well, Dr. Kim, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you could take two of the darkest people in the world and come out with an albino baby, but you can't take two white people and make a black child because the original person is black, and you can't take something else and make the original. You have the original could make every color. You could the two darker people could have a brown skin child, an albino child, and a child that looked like them, and be their blood and genetic child, because from Africa came every race, creed, and color that marks this earth. But I want to say this, there's only one kind, and that's mankind. I'm going to get ready to go in, but before I go into the study with my students, I'm going to talk about Senku. They call him Joseph Senku, but his real African name was Simba Fale, also known as Joseph Senku. Senku, sometimes referred to as Mono Mai Monos, as Senku, as the West African mean from, he came from the Mende people, who led a revolt of many Africans on the Spanish slave ship called the Amistad in July 1839, after the ship was taken into custody by the U.S. Revenue and Manor Senku and his fellow African were eventually tried for mutiny and killing officers on the ship. Now, I want to say this. How a mutiny is when you take over a ship, they were fighting for their lives and for not to be put in for slavery. But the charges, it came out okay. And as the case known as the U.S. versus Darmstadt that reached the Supreme Court in March of 1841. Now, Senku at this time is a 25-year-old slave. But he had heart. He was a fighter. Like many other Africans that fought, that they hide in history, that we were just docile people that just accepted anything that was dear to us. Well, Senku and his fellow Africans were found to have rightly defended themselves from the enslaved through illegal Atlantic slave trade and were released. The U.S. government did not provide any help or aid from them. But now they were represented by former U.S. President John Quincy Adams and Robert Sherman. They did get help for their freedom there. So they got, well, how they was able to get back to Africa and to acquire the Mende people, the U.S. Missionary Society, a black group founded by James W. Pennington, helped raise money for the return of 35 of the survivors of Sierra Leone, and that's why Senku was from, what they call him Senku, but it was Senbi Paya. And that's what I wanted to say, too, as I open up the line. You know, when we're studying in class, we oftentimes come up on Peter, James, John, the Bible characters. There was no such thing as Peter, James, and John as a Hebrew name. That was something that was given to us. Amen. The line is open. Do we have any students or anyone with any questions that would like to share with us tonight? The line is open.
Well, God bless everyone, and thank you for being here. Thank you, Dr. Kim, for that powerful word, powerful lesson. The lines are open. Welcome, UTC students. The lines are open to you. God bless you, and good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Evangelist Marva Coleman, where I'm a student at UTS, where Dr. Lee Burst Kemp is our president. And I was just trying to write down all kind of stuff while Dr. Kemp was speaking. And I tell you, it's just so much that we need to know. And we're studying in one of our classes about African American history and how we need to know our history and know who we are. And the topic that I had when I was looking through the African American history book was concerning Sarah Wheeler Walker, and she discovered a process that would ultimately lift her out of poverty as a worker of a washwoman to make her a millionaire. And I thought that was just awesome, you know, that she was a woman of poverty, and she found an invention to help her, and not just her. As I read on, you'll see where she was able to give other people jobs, other women jobs. And in 1905, in St. Louis, Missouri, Madam C.J. Walker, as she was later known, perfected a chemical and the use of a hot comb to straighten African-American women's hair. Which now we know that we don't have to straighten our hair. We can just go natural. But it was still a blessing for her to invent it to take her out of poverty. Amen. But we can take ourselves out of a lot of poverty where we won't have to be putting all these different chemicals in our hair now.
Amen.
And they were saying that she developed a facial cream for lightening African-American skin color. Well, that was good maybe in her time, but I'm going to keep the skin I got. I'm not trying to lighten my skin. I want to keep it as dark as I can get it because I know that the melanin that marrying C.J. Walker and moving to Denver in 1906, she sold her product door to door, and she taught African-American women to use these products in beauty salons. She then established a manufacturing plant and headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, and began to distribute her products. And this was just awesome. It said that she was distributing her products nationwide. Her marketing techniques were just as innovative as her chemical techniques. And I just was thinking to myself when we talk about how she was able to market the techniques on hair, but we need to learn how to go out there and compel men and women to the word of God, advertising Jesus to the world. And it said that, as she demonstrates and advertises the African American in the newspaper and all, and it said to outsell her competitors while her beauty shop network created independent jobs for thousands of African American women. And I guess so many. And that's one of the ones that I wanted to share about knowing my African American history. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, good evening. This is Trey Albert. I'm a student of UTS under Dr. Kemp, Dr. Hillard, and Minister Jimmy, and Reverend August. And just want to take time out. It's been an honor and a privilege just to be able to be under the man of God and learning Black history. And it also helps for us to be able to reach out and let other people know what's going on as far as your history and who you are and who you are, not only through the Black history, but also where it ties into the Word of God. It ties into the Bible, and it brings everything all the way through. And I took the liberty of coming up on, I'm not going to be before you long, but S.A. Coleman, the year of 1893 to 1926. Now, this is important. If you're into any kind of aviation, a lot of us have been in the military or anything like that, dealing with ships for the Navy or dealing with Air Force and airplanes, this caught attention. The first licensed African-American pilot was Bessie Coleman, a pioneer woman of aviation, although she was prevented from entering a flight school in America. Now, they wouldn't let her go to school in America, but she was the first African-American pilot, and they refused to give her, refused to let her fly, and that was her passion, was to fly and travel to France, where she studied the science of aviation from rock bottom up. She knew all of it. She had everything under control. And it also said that she received the necessary instructions to get her license. So she was licensed. Back in the United States, she flew many flight exhibitions to raise money for her next dream, a flight school for African Americans. Now, this is where it catches you at. Unfortunately, Bessie Coleman died in a plane crash before she could make her flight school into reality. And I'm telling you, it's got a lot of history, man, and we just need people to take the time out to learn. And if you learn some of the stuff, especially young people, and it can captivate your mind, and you'll be able to say, hey, I'm more than what people think I am. You got people that went before. A lot of people laid the foundation down. Just like somebody said earlier, it's more to it than just Dr. King and all these other great leaders. It's more to it. And I'm having a great time learning this history. I'm having a great time learning from somebody that knows and actually researches. Dr. Kemp is on it. I thank God for you. I got to say, hey, like the Word of God said, give honor to whom honor is due. And Dr. Yes. Kemp, you are a blessing to us, and we thank you, and we thank God for you. I thank you for your time.
Amen. Okay. We thank God. Amen.
We do have any other person that would like to share tonight a question?
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Dr. Williams, and to my fellow UTS students and to all the listeners across the world, we just give honor to God for this great opportunity, for this moment in Black history. I think it's very important that we continue this programming because it's very much needed in today's society. Many of our youth do not really realize the struggle and where our people have really come from. From our inventions into from like Dr. Kemp was discussing earlier about where we came from. Many of our Black people today don't really understand where we've come from. And I really appreciate Dr. Kemp and everything he's expressed on tonight. I know the time is kind of far spent, so I'm not sure if I have time to elaborate on the subject that I wanted to talk about. But if so, I will. Do we have time?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Well, anyway, I just kind of wanted to touch on the it was actually when we were in class, I was looking at the topic about the second great migration, but it would not give the second migration justice if we wouldn't mention the first migration of the Blacks from the South up to the North. And if I can express a little bit on it, it says the Great Migration, also known as the Black Migration or the Great Northern Migration, was a period from 1910 to 1970. And you have two migrations, the first and the second, that occurred in that time frame. It says when approximately 6 million African Americans moved from the rural South to the Northeast and Northwest and the West. This migration was caused by poor economic and social conditions in the South, including Jim Crow laws, lynching, and racial segregation. Many migrants moved to the largest cities in the United States, where they established communities that were influential culturally. The first migration took place from 1910 to 1940, when millions of African Americans moved to the North to escape these conditions. The Great War in Europe created a need for labor in the North and the Northwest. So Southern African Americans were recruited to work in factories. Many migrants followed the rail lines and settled in major cities like Philadelphia, New York, Detroit, Cincinnati, and so on and so on. The Great Migration marked the beginning of the modern civil rights movement. The Harlem Renaissance also saw the emergence of Black literacy, artistic, and intellectual visionaries such as W.E.B. Du Bois, Claude McKay, County Collins, Dorothy West, Langston Hughes, Jean Toomer, Jacob Lawrence, and Zora Neale Hurston. And when we look back, have done great things in such a small amount of time here in the United States. And it says, and in the past 50 years, this historic event has reversed with many Black Americans returning to the South. If you look now, you see a lot of Blacks are leaving these northern cities and coming back down to the South because, you know, we're not faced with the segregation. We're not faced with the Jim Crow laws anymore. And we've come a long way. And I think that as we, as Blacks, would teach our kids and our grandkids that if we would just do like our people of old and just allow ourselves to be educated and to not allow ourselves to become a part of the demise of our own, the destruction of our own people. If we educate ourselves, time, and look back into Black history and to how far we've come, I think we would have a new insight on our lives. And like I said, I just want to just touch bases on that there. I didn't want to take up too much of your time, but I thought that was a very interesting topic about how, you know, back in the day, because even my grandfather was one of those that left the South and moved up to Chicago. And that's why this is really like a little touching topic for me, because he left not long after my dad was born. He moved to Chicago, became a chef out there in Chicago, and actually had another family out there, and they actually did well out there. And I had an uncle that left the South, fought in World War, Vietnam War, his family in Chicago. And like I said, blacks are doing great all over this land, and we just need to just preach there. And again, I just want to thank y'all for the opportunity to speak tonight, and thank God for Dr. Kemp and this opportunity that he's given us. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, God bless you. Very well stated. Do we have anyone else on the line that's ready to talk about some black history? Is there anyone on the line that need to ask a question or would like to just share something themselves tonight? I know we have Minister Ferry on, but he had two teeth pulled, and he told me he wasn't going to be able to share, but he would be tuning in. And also, I did talk to Minister Thomas. He said he would be tuning in. Are there anyone else that would like to ask any questions, have something that they would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind, can you go back to the subject earlier? I kind of missed part of it. You were speaking on about the Hebrews were actually black folks, and I just wanted to just elaborate a little bit more on that. And about you said they were Semitic people as well, and they were not representative of what we consider Jews of today. I just want to see if you can touch on that a little bit more if you had time.
Okay, well, what I did, I would go back and say that biblically, the Bible talks about, if you go back in the 10th chapter and 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, it'll tell you about Noah had three sons, Shem, which is the Semitic people, Ham, and Japheth. Japheth supposedly is the white folk, the people from European,
yes,
that went up there and later through a mutation turned not white but turned pale in complexion. But if you read your Bible, they'll tell you that after the flood, and they did, and they went and built a Tower of Babel, that the people separated at the Tower of Babel. The children of Ham and the children of Shem stayed in around the Holy Land and in the Middle East, but the children of Japheth went up north in Europe.
Right.
So when they went up north, and at the time Nimrod was the head and building the Tower of Babel, and they tell you he's still in Mesopotamia. Now, Nimrod, the Bible say Ham is the progenitor of the dark race, the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites. Now, listen to what they say, the Canaanites, the Libyans, the Egyptians, and the Ethiopians. Now, whites have always tried to make Egypt as being white people, but the Bible say they were black. But now if you read, and I told you if you go to Zondervan Bible Dictionary, definition of Ham is, say, Ham is the progenitor, say, Ham is the youngest son of Noah, born 96 years before the flood, and one of eight to survive the flood, and the progenitor of the dark race, not of the Negroes. So the Semitic people were called Negroes, and any way you go around the world, Negro means you're black. And negros and all kind of stuff, no matter Spanish, all these words, they got a word for it, negreto, all kind of stuff. You go in and they call them that, and they said not of the Negroes. And I vehemently remember, I'm a product of, I was born in the 50s, but I remember the 70s being called color. I remember arguing with kids that called me a nigger. I say, I'm not a nigger, I'm a Negro. When I get to be a nigger, I'll let you know. Now, this is something that they had on paper. Negro, what are you, white, Negro, or what? And we would check Negro. But that's biblically, they said that that place where Ur the Chaldees, that was the land of Nimrod. But now, when I wrote when I first started off, I was reading about where the Garden of Eden was located. I did further study on that. They said they call them the Sumerian people. But when I looked up how did the Sumerian people look 5,000 years ago, which would go back right around the time of Abraham, they said there was an Ethiopian civilization, and the people were chocolate with stoop noses. Stoop noses mean they were thick, and you know what color chocolate is. And the people came in, and if you would just study your Bible, and I know you do study your Bible, you'll find out that Joseph went in before Moses into Egypt, and Joseph's brother sold him into Egypt, and Joseph's brother thought he was an Egyptian because they hadn't seen him in over 15 to 17 years after they sold him, and they went back and they needed food. And the brother was the one that they had to see to distribute the food. And when they saw that, they thought their brother, they called him an Egyptian. And the Egyptian were black. It's a proven factor that the Egyptian were a dark race of people from around the Sudan and other areas, real dark. Now, when Moses went, Moses was able to pass for black Pharaoh's grandson, even when Pharaoh said, kill all the first born are the babies that come off the birthing stool of Egypt. So he would have known if they brought a white baby in his house. Okay. He raised Joseph as his own grandson. I mean, not Joseph, but Moses as his own grandson. But when Moses killed the Egyptian and he fled, Moses ended up in Ethiopia and with his wife, and he met his wife named Zipporah, who told her father she found the Egyptian. And the Ethiopian and the Egyptians are brothers. They look just, I mean, and the Egypt, you know, there wasn't light back then. They're lighting up a little bit because the British and others been all around. And then even in Egypt today, what you see in Egypt today are nomadic Arabs. And that's what I'm saying. If you look up or Google it, you'll find out they've only been there 1,300 years. And I also told you, look up Gamal Abdel Nasser's speech in 1958, 10 years after they put those white folk there, when it talks about we, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? In other words, in the Holy Land. He said that the real people of the inhabitants of the Holy Land were black and came back white. They put white people there. Also, you have to understand the geography of that time. There was no such thing as the Suez Canal. That was part of Africa. You heard the word Canaanite. They say the Canaanites were the children of Ham. That means they were black. There's a verse in the book of Acts, I think it's 28 and 38, in the book of Acts 28 and 38, where even when Paul, the Romans, was getting ready to take Paul in the prison in Rome, they told it that Paul was the Egyptian or the Ethiopian who led 3,000 men out in the wilderness. Read it. And then when I researched that, they said that the Africans had conquered all the way around that way. They said the way Paul came from, Tarsus, they would have way around there. And even today, ask why, you could Google that and ask about the Italians and the Greek. Wasn't it perceived that the Greek and the Italians were part African? Okay? You could Google that, and they'll tell you that in the history, it was said to be that they had that bloodline in them.
Amen.
I hope I was able to answer your question. Also, when they had to hire Jesus, they took Jesus to Egypt, and the Bible say, out of Egypt or Africa, I bring my son.
Great.
Amen. Anyone else have something they would like to share? It seemed that everyone have shared what they wanted to share that was on here tonight. I know they had some others that were in class and say if it were possible, they would like to share tonight, and they were not able to share. And I know what happened to Brother Ferry, and I don't know what happened to the others, but I just want to say, continue to study to show yourself approved unto God, that a work need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to find out who we are. We are lost people. Our language, our history, our culture, everything have been ripped away from us. And it's time that we learn who we are. And I'm going to say this. If you go back and look up the invention, if you look up the scientists, geneticists and all this, none of them have Caucasian name. They're from all over Asia and all over Africa and places. The people that are discovering things and making medicines and science, they all have a foreign name. It's not coming from Caucasians, not doing it. Even when we get ready for physics and other things, they're either from China or Japan or Africa or somewhere. They're not from over in Europe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Again, I'm going to ask one more time. Do we have anyone else would like to share? Share if you don't have anything you'd like to share, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor William, who I really admire him because he's a man of conviction, and he's a person that really want his people, or black folk, to know about themselves, who they are, and who we are. When I say who we are, we're children of God, and I just want us to know these things. I don't worry about what denomination you are and all this other stuff. But I want to tell you there is a God, that someone created everything. And I don't care what name you call him, Allah. I don't call if you call him Dios, Dio, Dio, or whatever you call him. It doesn't matter. Mugodu, that's Swahili. No matter what you call him, his name is still means G-O-D, God. So I thank God for each and every one of them. And Pastor William, you have anything you want to say?
Well, God bless you, Dr. Kemp, and my fellow UTS classmates. Listen, powerful show. I just wish that the people out here will start learning who they are and whose they are and get right with God and get Christ in their lives so we can get on one accord. We can't move forward until we get on one accord. No matter what you're doing out there and how much money you're making, the big house you got, whatever. You know, that's all good. Wonderful. We have nothing against that. But let me tell you something. If you're not helping your brothers and sisters out around you and helping to move us forward and each other forward, you're not accomplishing anything. And that's not to say anything bad against anybody. But we're put here for a purpose, to give God glory and to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. Period. All right. God bless you and thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Don't forget that we will be in Lions Park in Mobile, Alabama this Saturday for our prayer in the park. National Prayer Day is Thursday, and we'll be coming together in fellowship in Mobile on this Saturday at 9 a.m. For those that are in Mobile near the area, please come out and let's pray together in unity and love. If you can't be there, please support us. Cash App is always up for you, $YATLIVE. support and make a donation. We love you. Ain't nothing you can do about that. The mic is yours, Dr.
Yes, I want to let you know we at the school is going to send you something by Cash App. Also, I want to remind our students that we have some students that's graduating. We're supposed to have four, but it's three. One is not going to go up for the graduation. But we have Brother Quincy, who's graduating, getting his Bachelor of Theology. We also have Brother Keith. He's getting his Bachelor. And Brother Cullen Hanchett, he's getting his Master. And we're going to be driving up to Monroe this weekend for the graduation. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. And those who want to hit the highway, just let me know. We're going to hit the highway and go up and cheer them on as they graduate, go up to the main campus to matriculate. So I'm just proud of those guys. They're studied, and now they're ready. Amen. They've been there for years, and now they're ready to go out and do what God, do the work of the Lord. All we do is hone their skills and get them to learn about people and people skills about dealing with people. So I've been blessed to be able to be one of their instructors and to be more or less the director of the school. So I'm grateful for that. And for all these great students that participated tonight, know that you did a wonderful job and a lot was shared. And those who are listening, we have a lot listening, and they should have learned something from the information that you gave tonight. And I pray it was something that I said that gave people more understanding of who they are. And I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for all those who are tuned in tonight, no matter where you are, no matter what color you are or creed. But the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the only thing I try to do is give true facts. And that's why I give you information where to find this information, where I'm getting that information from. Amen? Again, would you give that Cash App again, Pastor Williams, so those who are out, if they want this program to continue and to keep Pastor Williams with his project, and would you give that Cash App again, Pastor William? I don't know it.
Yes, sir. God bless. Cash App is at $YATLIVE. Yat Live. All capital letters, $YATLIVE. God bless you.
Amen. We're going to ask now, I'm going to ask one of our students, would you pray us out tonight?
Father God, we thank you for what we have heard and what we have felt. We thank you for Reverend Williams and Dr. Kemp, Father God, for putting this out in the air, Father God, where others
yes.
can hear and learn, Lord. We ask, Lord God, that something that's said tonight, that they can
Please.
Take it and use it and teach it to our children, to let our children know and our black race know that we are somebody. And, Father, we thank you for this beautiful time that we have had tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, we ask that this podcast will stay on the air so that others can hear and, Lord God, learn. And we give you all the glory and honor for these men that have come to know the importance of sharing who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. I love everybody in the world. And there's never nothing you could do about it. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me. Hey, we'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me. Hey, we'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying. They are lying. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be. Play it like a bee.
Great like a bee.
Grow with one another. Living happily. But you hurting me. Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
I am from Zion. I am a king. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost. We're family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves.
I love you.
Why are we hurting?
Now you love me. Now you're willing.
Love to all. Can you feel the grace, family? Breathe another day, family. Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful
place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and the rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love you, my people.
I feel your pain, people.
I feel your pain, people. We're family.
Listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of thought.
Sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.